Hi, I'm Lori Jones, President and CEO of Avasec Communications and host of the Integrate and Ignite Marketing Podcast. Join me and my guests, some of the world's top innovators, disruptors, and visionaries, as we explore bold and brave marketing strategies for scaling and growing your brand. Today, we have the brilliant Lindsay Linke, a trailblazer in the field of technology development. Join us as we uncover the secrets of Lindsay's success and the challenges she's faced along the way, and how she's navigating the world of entrepreneurship as a scientific founder in a business setting. Lindsay takes us on a journey through her path to entrepreneurship, starting her own napkin moment where the name of her company, Sivec, was born. With the support of the Tech Transfer Office and an amazing team, Sivec has now found its home in an incubator space at Colorado State University. Oh, and did we mention that she's received over $4 million in non-dilutive grants and awards? Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. In this episode, Lindsay shares so many things, including the process of commercializing and patenting technology, how she learned to protect her technology, her insights into an exciting potential of her technology as a platform for developing various therapeutics, and she'll spill the beans about an intriguing meeting with a large company and the potential of their technology in the mRNA space. Get ready to be inspired, educated, and entertained as Lindsay takes the Integrate and Ignite Marketing Podcast stage. It's time to integrate knowledge and ignite your marketing strategies. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Integrate and Ignite podcast. I'm so excited to have Lindsay Linke with me today from Sivec Biotechnologies. She is the co-founder and CEO of this company, and we're going to learn all things entrepreneurialism today. Welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Lori. Pleasure.
I tell you, I'm so excited to chat with you. First of all, your company started at my alma mater, Colorado State University. I read about you recently in a publication, and that's why I reached out. I was just intrigued by your story and what you're trying to do with an incredible technology. So before I talk more about what we're going to dive into, tell us a little bit more about your journey.
Yeah, well, thank you. Pleasure to be here, like I said. The journey, it's been a long journey, I will say that, as I'm sure every CEO can
attest. It is.
Sivec is a company that spun out of Colorado State University, and a little bit more just about how that came about. When I was in graduate school, I always, I saw my career a little differently than taking the academic track. That didn't speak to me the same way it did to a lot of my peers. But I know it was a little different, but didn't know what. What did I want to do? I wanted to go to industry. I wanted to figure out something different that I could do with my PhD. And in grad school, I had some really interesting opportunities to grow and develop these interests in exciting and meaningful ways. And so for me, while I was in research and in grad school, it was always about maximizing the impact of my research and what I'm doing. That was always what was driving me. Is okay, it's important to do this basic research. This is really cool stuff that we're doing. But what if we wanted to take it all the way? What if we actually wanted to commercialize this and find a way that this could be used in real ways, translated in real ways to help human and animals and be used in human and animal medicine? So that's kind of where this thought of where this all started is just knowing I'm a little different. I want to maximize what I'm doing. And the way to do that felt like I'm going to go into industry on an industry path. And at that time, I didn't exactly know what that looked like. I just knew that I probably wasn't going to stay at the university and teach, become faculty and go that route. So
you're a few years in. Are you glad you made the decision you did?
1,000%. Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say there aren't some pretty deep valleys, again.
Yeah, there always are.
We go through a lot of real challenging times, waking up early in the morning with, having to, really be good about channeling your thoughts and compartmentalizing things. But I have no regrets whatsoever.
That's great. And I love the fact, women in STEM, women in biotechnology, there's such an emphasis on this today. And for good reason. You know, we need to raise, you know, our daughters to become leaders of tomorrow. And a lot of the biotechnology, chemistry, you know, tech space is just thirsty to grow them as well. And you yourself have a daughter or two.
I don't have children. No children okay. For me. But I've got, you know, I work with a lot of young women, have mentored a lot of young women, held, you know, workshops and gone in and spoken, you know, and done kind of some special seminars for young ladies and girls and STEM. So definitely, I mean, it's a passion of mine and it's important. And that's not to say, again, you know, I've as a female CEO, I've had challenges, maybe not, you know, necessarily blatantly in my face challenges, but I know there's biases there that exist. And so in a way I walk this fine line in, you know, saying it's important to recognize this. It's important to be a role model. And I recognize also that these are driven by society. It has nothing to do with how I perform, my successes, my drive, my role as a CEO. Nothing can change the way I look. I'm not going to, as hard as I try, I'm never going to look like my male colleagues. So I can acknowledge that there's these challenges and it's hard. It's hard enough running a company. So my thought is, please don't make my job harder than it already is for me and my fellow female entrepreneurs and CEOs.
Yeah.
But this change doesn't happen without having these conversations.
Exactly.
And experiences. And I want to play an active role to raise awareness, to create change and be a role model. Because, you know, you hear that saying, you can't be what you can't see. And that's absolutely true. So I want to go out there and I want to show young women and my colleagues that this is possible. You know, you can be a confident woman that is just as capable and has the drive and can be successful. And so that's a big part of who I am.
You know, and for the record, we work with a lot of med tech, you know, technology companies in general. And I will say I've never met a male colleague who didn't completely embrace the need for STEM and these sort of programs and is all in to make sure that there is success surrounding everybody, no matter what. So we've been very lucky, I think, as an agency to have worked with great men and great women who really embrace this piece of it. So I think that's great.
Absolutely.
Important. The university environment spawns incredible technology. And it, you know, if it's Colorado State or CU, Anschutz, you know, with the CU affiliation just in the state of Colorado, it is massive, the innovation technology programs that are out there, and let alone every other state in the union. What has that environment provided you? And did you really understand that opportunity was there? Did it have to happen through teaching, or are there other ways of making it happen?
Yeah, great question. And you're absolutely correct. We're in a very, you know, a very supportive ecosystem here in Colorado for supporting technology development, you know, startup, I'm specifically saying life science and biotech. And so I'll just tell you a little bit briefly kind of about how SciVet came about with working with the university. And it was, I had, as I said, some interesting ways to really develop these interests and explore ways of, you know, what I'm going to do outside of academic setting. And I was actually, the technology I was working on while I was doing my dissertation was the technology transfer office at CSU, so at that time it was called CSU Ventures, now it's CSU Strata, came to me and said, I think what you're working on could have commercial applicability. And that was very exciting to me. And so I had the opportunity, to be a first name inventor on a patent that they applied for and submitted. So I worked through that process. I also got involved with the technology transfer office, the TTO, and just basically, you know, surrounding myself around other startup companies, learning about the path to translate, you know, how do you translate technology, market research fit, how do you commercialize, how do you submit a patent application, why is that important, the licensing, and just everything that kind of embraces what do you do with an idea, how do you translate that into a commercial, a viable product.
Right.
And so I got involved and really learned, you know, learned this early on in my graduate work, which a lot of, you know, I would say a lot of graduate students don't have those opportunities. So I had to seek them, but I knew that this is something I was interested in. It kind of just all fell into place in a way. And then I had this idea, you know, the technology I was working on was my baby. I'd been working on this for so long. And I felt like once I graduate, again, it's just going to go into a publication. What if it goes nowhere? It was almost this fear of, you know, if I don't continue the research, it might not go anywhere. And I really, again, wanted to maximize the impact of what I was doing. So I had this, this idea, I'm going to start a company.
And that was your napkin moment, right?
Yeah, that was my napkin moment where I remember sitting in my office. This is when I was doing my postdoc, and I was again at Colorado State University. I was sitting in my office and I thought, I think this is what I'm going to do. It was like this, literally like this epiphany. And then I took out, you know, a little piece of napkin that I had from lunch, and I started writing down, okay, what would the name of the company be? And I wrote down Cyvec. I think it was the first
thing
I wrote down. And I wish I had that napkin because I should have framed it. But
yes.
And I went into the tech transfer office, sat down with my licensing director there and said, this is what I want to do. And they said, awesome. We're behind you. We believe in what, you know, we believe in this. And so that was really where it all started. And now
I love it.
Yeah. CSU has an incubator space where we now have, my Cyvec is housed, all of our laboratory and office space is there. So, again, it was another catalyst to just keep us going and help us be successful. So yeah,
definitely. I love that. Well, very quickly, I've got a napkin moment that took place at Colorado State University as well. So I have had an incredible professor, Wes Sargent, who was a professional selling professor. Senior year, second semester, he asked me to intern for his company. And So we're in the middle of an internship, and Wes hired my father to do a creative development project for one of his clients. And it was during that project, we were at the Chili's on South College Avenue, which no longer exists. My dad and I were sitting down having lunch, and he looked at me and he said, why don't we give this a whirl together? And that was the fall of 1989. And, you know, 34 years later, you know, we're one of the largest female owned businesses in the state of Colorado. So the vision starts somewhere. And whether the catalyst is that university setting or a professor and just, you know, circumstantial, you know, a lunch that I had with my father to bring, you know, the vision to life is really what we're talking about here. And there's a lot to celebrate. You know, another thing that I think is unique here is that innate ability to vision, to disrupt, to innovate. And I think it takes a special person to do that.
It probably does.
And you're that person. And, you know, a lot of the people that I bring on this show are those people. You know, virtually every single client we work with is a disruptor, an innovator, and a visionary. Yeah. And so there's a lot of energy, but what is it that is so unique about that mindset, that risk-taking mindset that says, okay, was there an impetus as a child? Were you always that person? You know, what was it?
Yeah, well, I grew up swimming competitively.
There you go.
I came to Colorado State on a scholarship to swim. And I made it all the way to Olympic trials. So I was a very driven athlete. I had to set, you know, I learned early on how to set goals and how, again, have a vision for where I wanted to be at the end of the season for next season. So it was always about setting those goals, working hard to attain those and knowing what you needed to get there.
Yeah.
So the drive has always been a part of, I just think it's, you know, in the fiber, every bit of my fiber, you know, my DNA, but it was developed as a child as well. So it's just, you know, I have this no regrets mindset. Mm-hmm. Where if I don't try it, I'm going to regret it. If I don't put myself out there, if I don't take the risk, and again, it's calculated risk. It's knowing what I need to do to get there. It's not just blindly stepping in, but
right.
You know, and having a vision for how to get there. But that was, you know, again, a big part of starting.
I love it.
If I don't do this, I'm always going to look back and I'm going to regret it. And I'm going to think, or I was fearful that I would regret it for not taking that risk. And so it was kind of like,
here you are.
Doing it.
Yeah. By the way, I was a Colorado State cheerleader.
That's cool.
So we have that in common as well. That is so funny. So it's not all, wonderful. There are very, very hard time periods. There are things that happen day in and day out that still shock me, after 33 years of, the company's been in business, over 40, almost 43 years. And I'm still surprised, whether it be by people, by, a thing called COVID, by a decline in the marketplace, by a trend that everyone, the research showed it was going to take hold and it never did, no matter what their surprises. What has been one of the biggest surprises that you've experienced in starting your own business? And what can our listeners today learn from you through?
Yeah, another good question. And it's hard to isolate and just talk about one, challenge or one, deep valley that we've been through, that I've been through personally as a CEO and as taking this on and leading a team. But I think one of the things I didn't expect in the beginning, it seems it's exciting, and it's still exciting to be doing this today. But at the time when I really was starting in 2016, I didn't fully understand, once you become a real company and you really have responsibility and you're responsible for employees and for their livelihood and the weight of that, it's a lot to carry, and you don't realize that when you're graduating, you're coming out of your postdoc, the world is so exciting, and then you're in the real world. The other part of that is being a CEO is I didn't realize how lonely it can be, at times. It really, especially as a first-time CEO, I'm a scientific founder. I've had to put on a business hat and really learn, how to speak the business language. And that's come from, it didn't come overnight, but it can be a lonely place because you're constantly wondering, am I making the right decision? Right. Is this in the best interest for the company and the best interest for, our employees and for my company co-founder and other stakeholders? So you don't realize how isolating it can be and lonely because you don't have a book for dummies,
right,
for CEOs, and to just flip to this chapter and say, oh, this is what you do in this scenario.
Yeah, it's all different.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Life experiences. Mm-hmm. Do you have a mentor or a coach that you work with that has really helped you along the way?
Yeah, I've had several along the way mentors that have just kind of organically, happened. And I'll say, leaning on these individuals has been really instrumental and critical to my growth and to better understanding just this environment that I am and just having a safe place where I can ask questions. Is this normal? Is this, what should I say or how should I respond in this scenario?
Right.
What are my options? Or can you put me in touch with somebody who's been through this that can walk me through, the pros and cons to making a decision on this route versus this. So yeah, I have absolutely relied heavily on my network and relied on some very close advisors mentors, including other females, women. I'm my mug right now says empowered women empower women.
Yeah.
Which was given to me by one of my close female colleagues. But yeah, absolutely. Big part of that.
From my experience, it doesn't change either. We as founders, my father founded the business, but I took over the helm, many, many years ago. And, you still need that sounding board. And, up until his death 5 years ago, he was always my sounding board. And even with other, even when he was here day in and day out, I still had an outside business advisor to really help me with some of those business decisions that ultimately increase valuation for the business. And so I think surrounding yourself by people that definitely have your back, number one, but also bring an outside point of view into the company are critical to the success.
That absolutely resonates. And kind of, you know, taking different, you know, bits of advice that might be slightly different. Learning how to navigate that as well. And then ultimately trusting your gut. We say, you know, we talk about this, the gut feeling. I want it to be an educated decision, but sometimes it's like, this is just what my gut is telling me. So I've gone through this, you know, this realization that it's okay to feel lonely and okay to feel like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. So thank you for saying for me, and you're still, that's still part of the process, because it's comforting in a way to know that, because it's like, well, this is part of the deal, you know, this is what I signed up for.
and part of the deal also are business pivots, right? I think especially in biotech, anything with chemistry, you know, and tech in general, you don't know what you don't know. And until you know it, until you know it, you don't know if it's going to work. I'm going to try to repeat that, and I'm never going to be able to. But nonetheless, it's truly the unknown in science that you're figuring out along the way that that creates a lot of those pivots. What are some of those scenarios that you have worked through?
Yeah. Well, we started out, Cyvex started out as an animal health company. So we were developing a therapy for actually the prevention of avian flu in commercial poultry.
Good need.
Yeah, absolutely. Still today. Was back then, still today. And we kind of took a step back from that and realized, well, if we can use this for avian flu, this could be used for human influenza. So we wrote a grant and got funded. To date, we have over $4 million, $4 million have been raised in non-dilutive grants and awards from the National Institutes of Health, as well as the state of Colorado.
Congratulations.
Thanks for the Advanced Industries Program. So we started out animal health, then went into human, influenza, got some funding there. But I was actually in the biotechnology conference in Philadelphia in 2019. So I was there and I was having meetings with some top tier pharma companies, which was exciting. But between meetings, I had this epiphany where I realized, you know, there's a lot of talk about nucleic acid, and this is pre-COVID, you know, pre-pandemic mRNA vaccines, but a lot of talk in the industry at that time about mRNA vaccines and talking about nucleic acid therapies and gene editing and gene therapies. And I had this moment where I thought, really, what we're working with is a platform technology. It's an enabling platform technology for developing and enabling these types of therapeutics. So we're not just the one trick pony, developing a certain asset or a therapy. We've got a platform. And so it was this really cool moment where we realized, we're going to take a bit of a pivot here in a way, or just kind of take a bigger step back and recognize the value here of what we're developing and just the broad application that it had, again, for enabling human medicine. So that was exciting. And then with that came a lot of patent applications and patent, you know, doing what we can to protect. That was a big part of my role in what we do at the company. But that was a big pivot, definitely.
You know, I think it's so interesting. We describe this as aha moments, right? And those aha moments, typically the psychology of them typically happens when you're not so focused, you're just exploring what's happening around you. And you see something, you hear something, you smell something, the senses become such an incredible, you know, component of opening up your mind, freeing that focus of day to day, opening up your mind, and your mind immediately takes in, you know, what it is meant to basically hear and learn and see. When you can just kind of decompress and I you being at that show and out of the office and all, you know, out of the day-to-day management of everything allows you, that happens to me a lot when I'm driving, by the way, or it happens to me right. You know, I call it my aha moments, but it's all based on innovation right when I wake up in the morning or when I'm on vacation because I'm not drawn down with the day-to-day.
Yeah. I actually got goosebumps when you talked about that, Lori, because it is, that's part of what's so exciting, you know, is when you can have these aha moments and when the innovation and the brainstorming and the vision come, you know, you might not know how you're going to get there, what that looks like, but it's, I'm almost addicted to that feeling where you can start to.
So awesome.
This is so cool. If we could do this. And I can remember being in Philadelphia, which again is a time where you're meeting with people, you're exploring ideas, you're brainstorming. It's just such a cool environment. But I had met with a very large company. I won't mention the name, but a very large company that said to me, "Could your technology by chance do this?" It was talking about mRNA. Could it do mRNA? Could it make mRNA and deliver mRNA as a therapy? And I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's not set in my mind. I'm thinking that's not something I've ever explored. My thought, you know, was perhaps I want to look into this. And I remember I was back, you know, in between meetings, texting my team and asking about this. Like, what do you guys think? You know, would this be possible? And so these moments, you know, those aha moments where you realize, oh, wow, this is within the realm of possibilities. And then really making that happen and then going back to the lab and doing the research and development aspect. It's just so cool. It's so exciting to be a part of. Yeah.
Now, so there's always years of development. Is that the moment in which you said, okay, there's real product viability here? You know, this we can take to market, or did you know beforehand that this will take hold?
I didn't know at the time. You know, back then I was meeting with a lot of companies, and it really the purpose that I had was getting on their radar. I knew that we're very early. I knew at that time we were early, and just kind of planting the seed in a way. It wasn't this realization that we have a real company, a real viable technology. We're developing a drug delivery. We have a drug delivery platform, and then we're developing our own therapeutic assets as well. It wasn't until, you know, as I mentioned, we raised over $4 million in non-dilutive grants from NIH and the AI program in Colorado. That was a way of vetting, you know, the company and the technology. So that was kind of the first stage. We've gaining attention from top five pharma companies that are asking us for meetings and saying, hey, we'd like to learn more about your platform, your drug delivery platform. This is a space that is just going crazy within biotech, nucleic acid and gene editing therapies, but they need an enabling drug delivery system for that. And so that's an area that we've recognized this niche and recognized that this is going to be a growing, expanding area. And so we were there at the right time and ready to really, you know, start planting the seed of who we are. And so now we're getting a lot of attention. But lastly, we were recognized in 2022, so last year, as the top emerging company by the Biotechnology International Organization, or BIO. So that was a huge nod of endorsement for what we're doing at the company at SciVac. So
it's incredible. It's
thank you.
What is one of the biggest obstacles that you've experienced along the way?
I think for me, being a science, you know, I'm a scientific founder. Has been learning and gaining the business acumen that I need to do this, you know? Yeah. And I could have handed over, you know, found another CEO, someone to come in, but I I'm so passionate about this, you know, with my company co-founder, which by the way, Darcy Moore is also a female. So two female, co-founders. I just felt like this is my calling. This is where I need to be. But I had to, you know, it's like osmosis, like going through this, you know, you don't learn it overnight. So being patient and going through, working on the foundational work, getting immersed in workshops and in different training opportunities to really learn, but it just comes with time. It's not something I can just, you know, there's no easy, fast way to do this.
Right.
Nothing is scripted. As I said, there's no, you know, there's books, but there's not exactly, you know, one book that will tell you everything you need to know. So for me, it was really learning to demonstrate that I have the acumen, that SciVac, our team, has the business mentality that's necessary to commercialize our science. So that's been a big challenge, but something that I think I believe and I think that our track record shows that we're doing a pretty darn good job of doing so.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it. That's for sure. And I think that human interaction, I read a lot of books. A lot of times I read every other line in a lot of books just to get through it. You know what I mean? Because it's so much. If it's a great book, I can see myself, I'm ideating throughout. Mm-hmm. Like I'm taking in so much that I'm ideating. But that human interaction, whether it be with your team or an advisor, I think is really what can make the big, yes, big difference. So all the success, you know, these great companies looking at you, what is next?
Well, we've got clear milestones, things that, you know, what we're working on in the lab is next steps. Again, we're always going through customer discovery process. And when I'm coming back from bio in Boston, which was in the beginning of June, I'm meeting with companies, meeting with potential partners, and I'm learning about what is it that they need to see to really be engaged and take to the next step and want to collaborate with us. So I take that information back to the team. We're implementing it into the lab and into our R&D activities to reach these milestones. We're looking at securing a second industry partnership. We're actively raising seed capital. So that's another part. We've been very successful with raising and securing non-dilutive grants and awards, but now this is our first time going out and pitching to investors. So that's a new but also exciting process for us. We look at, you know, with that money and being able to raise additional funds, we can grow our team. So we have a team, we're a team of four.
And that's
we're
really great.
Proud of us. We're a very nimble, lean but mean team.
We all start out that way, by the way. Everyone starts out there.
Yeah. Well, it helps us to pivot, you know, allows us to pivot pretty quickly as well, being nimble like that. But there's so much more that we could be doing if we could grow the team, you know, attract the right talent. I know that Colorado is just, again, an ecosystem that we're excited, you know, biotech and the companies here are excited to be a part of this life science community. We want to hire more people. We want to grow and scale. We've got our lead asset that's getting ready. We're in what's called IND enabling studies. So moving towards, again, translating that into the first in human clinical trials. So there's a lot on the horizon, a lot that we're doing. It's an exciting time. So that's what the future looks like.
I tell you, there is no doubt in my mind, Lindsay, that you're not going to achieve greatness. And whether it's an early exit or it's, you know, because someone just outright buys the technology, or if you're going to prove the model and produce and sell, you know, the solution. There's just so much opportunity out there for you. It's really exciting. I think everyone listening today should be taking a look at this company and watching it, because there is going to be some greatness that comes out of that mind of yours, everybody that you've got at the table, and that great university up north. So I wish you much luck, and thank you so, so much for sharing so much wisdom and insights today. It's very, very inspirational, and I can't wait to see what you do next. Thank you so much.
Lori. Oh, thank you, Lori. I really appreciate that. And thanks again for the opportunity to share a little bit more about my story. And I appreciate the support. So awesome.
Well, you go, girl. Thank you so much for your appearance on the Integrate and Ignite podcast.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was.
This episode is complete. Head over to avasetcommunications.com for more ways to scale and grow your business. And be sure to tune in regularly for insights and motivation with host Lori Jones and her guests on the Integrate and Ignite Marketing podcast.